looking back, stymied and arrested because I won't turn from my sin and turn to Jesus and sit down to be made over. It's real now. This thing is flashing red, man. The warning lights are flashing. You can't get caught up in anything in your life that happened to you. The apostle says, forgetting those things behind, I press on toward the mark, toward a higher calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. This is so pathetic. And we actually make icons out of people like John Lewis. We make them into idols and lift them up on pedestals. And we stay right there in 1950, stalled out on the track. Still in Selma, crossing a bridge. And it's 2017. And you have Orientals coming to the country. Middle Easterners coming in, people from Africa coming in, prospering, while you sitting down and looking at a statue down at the King Center, remembering from whence you came, looking back at the past. See, it, God's army, the church, has to amalgamate black, white, Hispanic, Oriental, American, Indian, Native Americans. All these people have got to amalgamate in here with none of the mess in the environment, none of the bondages, none of the barriers. That stuff got to be torn down. But you got to use plainness of speech and be for real. Authenticity will lead to salvation. When you get for real with God, he'll get for real with you. God is reciprocal. He'll treat you like you come to him. You come sincerely and come truly, God's going to deal with you direct, show you what's wrong, and tell you to expunge this trash so you can draw nearer. That's what he's after. He's not trying to push people away. He shows you the barriers in you so you can come closer to him. That's what it's all about. We'll wrap it up with this last video, then we'll go home. This young lady right here just telling you in plain terms where she came from, what she's been through, and how she overcame a lot of things in her life. Not looking for a bunch of super faith, hyper faith, metaphysical, dramatic stuff. She'll just tell you what she plainly did to move forward in God and get free. This girl here could preach to me any day. She calls this just a normal conversation that will lead to salvation if you listen to it. It's not trying to hype anything up. She's talking to her kids, telling them to be quiet in the video and telling folk to, you know, turn the phone off, whatever she got to tell them, because she's just dealing with real life. It ain't all this hyped up, sanitized presentations on TBN. This is real life salvation and the real gospel she's talking about right here.
I came with a word of encouragement for everyone. This is for everybody, starting with me. There's a scripture that I've been meditating on for probably like a month now. And I had been talking to a lot of people, even before I read this scripture. I had been talking to a lot of people, and they would come to me and ask me, you know, how is it, you know, living for the Lord, and how do you stop doing all this stuff that you've been doing for so many years? And so I analyzed my life, you know, when I first came to the Lord. And I analyzed it, and when I read this scripture last month, because what I try to do is read a proverb per day, and I mess up. Sometimes I don't. But I try to read a proverb. So like on day one of the month, I read Proverbs 1, day 2 of Proverbs, you know, 2, and so forth. So most people there'll ask them, you know, if I've been, you know, I've been smoking, or, you know, I've been, you know, going with him and sleeping with him for so long, how is it that I'm able to stop? And so I read Proverbs 16:6, and God shared some stuff with me. And Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So, when I read it, the Lord showed me that mercy, you know, he gives us mercy. The mercies are new every day. But when it got to the part truth, it says by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And when I read it, the Lord told me, look at truth as a person. Because in John 14:6, I believe I'm right. I believe that's it. It's Jesus was telling them, they were asking him, well, what way will you go in all this? And Jesus told them, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in Proverbs 16:6, when it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, I'm like, wow, so truth, that person, Jesus. Then it's on the end of that scripture, it says, in the fear of the Lord, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And he's not saying to be scared of him, but what God is saying, the reverential fear, that fear that you have of hurting the person you love so much. And so I was in a conversation, you know, and we were talking about, you know, the expelling of demons, which is necessary because Jesus told us in the for the Great Commission that we should cast out demons. That was one of the first things he said to do. Then he said, heal the sick, raise the dead. However, there's no people that go to the altar numerous times, and I'm not saying don't go to the altar or whatnot, because guess what, the altar is always there for us, you know. But what I'm talking about is when you find yourself falling back into that same thing. I mean, when you go to the altar for that same thing over and over and over, you look back last year, you was going to the altar because you just can't you can't keep your drawers up. You go to the altar because you have these desires that you want to stop this thing. And it's people, I meet some genuine people, and they really want to stop. And I see people, you know, laying hands on them and come out, come out. And I'm not knocking that. I'm not knocking it. But when I look at Jesus' ministry, Jesus didn't spend an hour casting out a demon. I really don't believe he did. But when I read Proverbs 16:6 and it said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, I'm like, oh my God, God showed me, like, you have to spend time with the person of truth. And when you spend time with the person of truth, which is Jesus, he'll eradicate those things in you. And the end of it says, purge by mercy and truth. Iniquity is purged. So he's telling us that when you have these addictions, you know, and these things that you've been wanting to stop for years, and you've went to the altar and you've gotten people to lay hands on you. I mean, you done told every warrior you know to pray. That does work, you know, because faith allows those things to work. But when I read Proverbs 16:6, and I'm saying the scripture over and over, guys, because I want you to get it in you. Proverbs 16:6, I see you guys, Marshawn, Zenobia, Terrence. I see all of you. Chandria, I love you, girl. Desiree, I see everybody. Iziola, I love you guys. But let me keep going because I don't want to lose my track. But like I said, you can go to the altar and you can get people to lay hands on you. You can get thousands of people praying. But when I look at my life and my stages with the Lord, a lot of things he purged me of just by spending time with truth. And truth has a name, and his name is Jesus. And the more I spent time, because he is his word and his word is true. So the more I spent time in the word of God with truth, I mean, just in the presence of God, he purged me of things that, man, I'm telling you, like, listen, I was a straight up weed head, ganja head, whatever. I don't know what they call it now, but I was a straight up weed head. Y'all can look at my lips. It's a little residue. But anyway, I smoked weed. I smoked weed before I went to work, I couldn't eat breakfast without smoking it. I couldn't go to bed without smoking it. I smoked it before having sex. I smoked it after having sex. I smoked it on my break at work. And guess what? I functioned. And in my mind, I'm like, shoot, man, I be on point when I'm high. You know, with my little weed. But anyway, when I got to the place of when I fell in love with Jesus, I just, when I found out that my body was the temple of the Holy Ghost, when I found that out, when I got a hold of that scripture, I began to have a desire to want to please God in every way. And you know, I know people have these things where they say, oh, well, you can drink, Jesus gave, you know, liquor to they at the wedding, and they say, oh, weed comes from the earth. But I'm telling you my testimony. I felt like it was polluting my body. So what I did was I spent time with truth, and I received the new mercies every day that he had for me. And it's so many things that God stripped me of just by being in the presence of the Lord. You know, I I'm not going to say I never went to the altar to have people lay hands on me and whatnot, but when I came to the place of just wanting to spend time with God, it's like I would wake up and I would think, wow, I don't do that anymore. I mean, and I used to curse, man. I used to curse so good, y'all. That thing used to make people want to beat me down. I used to curse so good. Which is so bad, cause it's not cute. But y'all, I'm just trying to get you to understand. Like, God brought me from somewhere. The person you see now, oh my God, God purged me, and it was so much in me that he took out. You know, I mean, I was able to stop fornicating because I spent so much time with God. I was able to stop smoking weed because I spent time with him. I was able to, hey, Miracle and Desiree, but I was able to, like, and this was a thing for me. I used to fight a lot, and everybody knows that, like, everybody. I used to fight so much, and when I came to, because to be one with the Lord, and I spent time, like the scripture says, Proverbs 16 says, I love this verse, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Y'all, I know it by heart. I've been meditating on it for a month, and I love when I know a scripture by heart, y'all. I just love it. That means it's in my heart. I ain't just remembering it now. Trust me, I'm not a person that just remembers stuff. I have stripped that thing. I have stripped that scripture, but I'm just encouraging you guys because, like, I was a mess. I was such a mess. Like, I was a man eater. I got hurt, you know, in my life of dating and all that. I got so hurt. And, you know, I turned to be a man eater. I had no good intent. After I got hurt, I had no good intent for a man. No. And God purged me of that. And he allowed me to see the beauty of a man walking in authority. A man that walks upright. And it was all because I spent time with him. And now I'm able to, you know, love my husband and submit to him. And guess what? I don't mind him telling me what to do because he follows God. He serves this truth that I spent time with. And I'll keep saying that truth is a person. So I just want to encourage you guys. I'm not even going to be long, but I just want to encourage guys that are struggling with those secret sins. You know, first of all, I want you to find somebody you can confess to. First, confess to God, but find someone that you can confess to. And he says that if you confess your faults, I think it's in 1 John. Y'all, I don't want somebody look it up. It says that if you confess your faults, that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So those of you that are struggling with these secret sins, because I'm telling you, I talk to a lot of people. And people are struggling, man, and they keep going to the altar and they're wondering why I'm not being delivered. You know, thoughts of homosexuality, thoughts of suicide, people with thoughts of, thank you, Terrence, 1 John 1:9, okay. People are struggling with alcoholism. They're struggling with, you know, just bitterness and anger from rape or abuse. They're struggling with unforgiveness, and they're not. You guys, we have to find somebody that when we confess to God, we can go to someone that we trust. And guess what? As you spend time with truth, when you spend time with truth, I see you, sister, and I'm going to be praying for you and with you, Desiree. I'm going to be praying. So I want you to find someone that you can confess these things with, you know, someone that you know is not petty and not going to use it against you. Someone that you know is living right. Confess it to your brother, sister. You know, get you a person that's going to hold you accountable and ask you, have you been spending time with God? And another thing I always tell people, ask the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit, to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to infill you. Every believer, I believe that when they confess Jesus Christ as Lord, the Spirit of God is with them, but there's an infilling that has to take place. And Miles Monroe, he explained it very well. He talked about the believer having the Holy Spirit. He said, when you confess, it's like drinking a cup of water, right? But he says, when you allow him Lord and Savior, and for you to be filled with the Spirit of God and yielded to the Holy Spirit, is like being dipped and submerged in the water instead of drinking a cup of water, if that made it plain to anyone. But I just want to encourage you, God can purge you. All you have to do is spend time, receive the new mercies, spend time with truth. Truth has a name, Jesus. And guess what? It's nothing. There is nothing that you have done that God cannot cleanse you of. The only thing, you just can't be forgiven for blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And guess what? I'm rooting for you guys. I believe that if a person still has breath in their body, that they can repent and turn to God. So don't let anybody count you out. Spend time with the Lord. Find you an accountability partner. And guess what? Find you somebody that's going to not tickle your ears. You don't need a person who's going to agree with everything you say. You need someone that's going to tell you the truth in love. And guess what? It may hurt sometimes. Yes, I mean, me and my sister, I have a few mighty warriors. Ooh, hallelujah. And every time I talk about them, I can think about it. But I have a few mighty warriors that, honey, if I get out of line, they're going to check that. And they're going to do it in love, and they're going to be firm about it. And they're going to share with me what they've got in their quiet time with God. And guess what? If I haven't spent time with God, that thing going to provoke me to go spend some time, like a righteous jealousy. It's going to provoke me to go spend some time with God. So remember Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Let's talk about the second part of the scripture. By the fear of the Lord, men departing from evil. To depart from something is to leave it, to go away. Y'all know when you're departing on the airport, you're leaving, right? Okay. It says by the fear of the Lord, reverential fear. Like I said in the beginning, when you fall in love with the Lord and you begin to know his heart and you begin to know what hurts him and what he loves and what he hates, because God hates sin. When you begin to spend time with him, when you begin to spend time with him, you begin to fear him. Meaning respect him. It's a high respect that you have for God. And this reverential fear should be so much so that if you gotta make other people mad to make him glad, that gotta be your motto. When you spend time with God and you fall in love with him, and you know that his word is true, because let me tell you something, God is a loving God and he's a merciful God. And y'all, I'm sorry, try this sweat itching me. I just finished working out. I need to go back, but I had to get it out, y'all. But when you have reverential fear of the Lord, you've spent time with him and you've gained a beautiful relationship. And It's just like, you know, with your spouse, if anybody's married on here, or I'll say with your parent, it's some people that respect and honor and love their parent. When you love someone, you don't want to do things to hurt them. So if you have that reverential fear of the Lord, who said, hey, wife, that better be my husband? Oh, he's talking to his wife. My brother talking. Sorry, y'all. My brother speaking to his wife. Y'all better pay attention, Pia and Brianna. But if you have reverential fear of the Lord, you will begin to understand what he loves and what he hates. And I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing, because you'll sit back and you'll laugh at yourself, because at the beginning of your walk, you know, you'll be going around, you'll be doing these things, and you be all jolly and happy. But then, the more you grow in your relationship with God, and the more you get to know his heart, you'll be like, God, how did I go on all this time not knowing that that wasn't pleasing you? You know what I'm saying? Little stuff, you know, little things that you just don't pay attention to in the beginning. But I just want to encourage you, man, don't let anybody count you out. Don't count yourself out. Because guess what? Jesus can purge you of anything that you feel like you're addicted to doing. I mean, it's not too hard for him. So just spend time with him. You know, just always tell people, go to God as if he doesn't know anything about you. But tell him everything about you as if he knows everything, if that makes sense. It's almost like just start let it all out. Just let it out. Just act like he don't know you. But then when I say act like he do know you, you can't lie to him. So just let it all out. Go to God. Get yourself in a place. And you just start saying, Lord, I need to be free. I'm finna spend time with you. Lord, I'm struggling with this. Lord, I want to stop cussing. I want to stop drinking. I want to stop smoking. Lord, I'm tired of getting angry with people. Lord, I want to be delivered from this bitterness and unforgiveness. And guess what? I got a word for you guys that's struggling with unforgiveness and bitterness. The people that have hurt you, call their names out every day in prayer. I remember I was being persecuted really bad. And God told me, he said, pray for her. And so I said, what? God, you want me to pray for her like David did? Because David didn't play, y'all. Y'all read Psalms. David didn't play. David was telling God, y'all, you kill them all. You said you would kill them. But no, God was telling me to pray for this young lady as if she was my child. So I remember the first time I said her name, oh, that thing hurt y'all so bad. It was like a knife. That thing hurt. I was getting choked up, couldn't say the whole name. But then the more I said her name and got it out, and I said her name over and over, and I would pray. I'm talking about, boy, I begin to pray, and it's like the Holy Spirit took over. And I'm pretty sure if she could have heard that prayer I prayed for her, she would have like been like, wow, why don't I like this person? But anyway, bitterness, it is a disease. Unforgiveness and bitterness is a disease that's plaguing humanity. It's people so bitter against their mother, against their hijasira, against their father, against the person that raped them. They're bitter against their kid's father. Men are bitter against their fathers in this day. People are bitter against their leaders. I mean, it's so much more bitterness, so much unforgiveness and bitterness going on. I want you guys to feast on Proverbs 16:6. Confess those confess your faults. I know that's right, Christina. But confess your faults to the Lord. And like I said, find you an accountability partner. And guess what? I guarantee you that if you spend time with truth, that iniquity will be purged. God will clean you. I'm a living witness, guys. I mean, I'm a living witness. The smell of weed, it's so stink to me now. And I thought it was cute. I used to go into the football and basketball games. I would smoke my crib right before going into the game just so they can know I'm on that phone, baby. Yeah. And then I was so foolish. I used to sit up there and smoke before going to church. Yeah, I used to smoke a blunt, cook some breakfast, and go to church. Be sitting there crying, high. Lord Jesus. Look, and then, look, it made me think about the beginning of the scripture. By mercy and truth. Because his mercy was with me, y'all. And I can laugh about it now, but I was a messy, funky, stinking mess in God's nostrils. Yes, I was. So now, you know, the more time I spend with the Lord, I want my worship to be like a sweet-smelling savior. I don't want it to be no funk in God's nostrils, because he says sin is stink. But guess what? If you confess, he's faithful. He's just. He's a righteous judge. He's going to forgive you. And you know what? When he forgives you, it's cast in the sea of forgetfulness. Yeah, the sea of forgetfulness. He don't remember him no more. Yeah. So listen, confess. If you're struggling with thoughts of fornication or thoughts of homosexuality or thoughts of I'm just trying to name things, you know. If you're struggling with thoughts of suicide, if you're struggling even in your self-esteem, you know, I meet people, they feel ugly. A little girl told me the other day, I'm ugly. Because I called them beautiful, and she was like, I'm ugly, I ain't beautiful. And she's struggling. And she told me, she said, well, I'm gay, I'm a married woman. I say, you ain't gay. I just looked into her eyes, I said, you ain't gay. You ain't gay. I said it over and over. You ain't gay. And the little girl was looking at me, but she don't even know I planted some seeds. She gonna think about that. She gonna hear that all the time. And she said, I'm a married woman. I say, no, you're not. You're not gay. I say, now, if you do marry a woman, you're gonna divorce her. And then you're gonna marry a man of God. And guess what? He's going to not touch you until he marries you. Planted seeds. So look, whatever you're struggling with, if you feel like you can't stop sleeping with him, confess it. Just confess it to the Lord. Lord, I'm a nympho. Be honest. Call it out. Lord, I'm a whore. I'm a whore, Lord, and I need you to clean me. Father, I'm a reckless, lazy mess. I need you to help me be accountable. Father, I misuse my money. I need you to help me to be a good steward. Lord, I'm a pervert. I be thinking about some crazy stuff. I need you to help me. You got to call that thing out and confess. Call it what it is. Because guess what? Them demons be knowing your name. And they be trying to look for you. Who? So call it out. Call it out. Yes. Amen. Get drenched in the Holy Ghost. I know that's right. Praise God. Somebody gonna be free. You know what? Because, look, I've been meditating on this thing for a whole month. Somebody is going to be free. I declare it. Amen, sister. Confession. You know what, Keisha? One time, I see confessions bring forth healing. One time, I was sitting in the shop, and I don't know, like the Holy Ghost just... It's almost like a word just flew out of my mouth. I said, self-examination brings forth elevation. And I don't know why I said it, but then me and the brother in Christ, we meditated on that thing like the whole time in the shop. And it's self-examination brings forth elevation. Do you know that when you examine yourself, and when you look in that mirror and you be honest with yourself and don't forget what you saw when you was in that mirror, you look in that mirror and you confess and you tell that, look, you ain't giving them no more of your cookies. You old fornicate and you old sexual immoral demon, you gonna come out. And listen, I'm telling you, I cast the demon out myself. I was telling them the other day, I would cast one out. Let a lie try to slip off this tongue. I look. I say, you lying demon, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. You have no place here. My mouth is like a well of life. Yes, You got to do it. And let me tell you something. The more time you spend with God, the more you're going to be real with yourself. The more, even if your children got some demons up in them, you're going to be casting them out. Because you're going to understand that. You got to rebuke the dreams now. Tell my children. You got to rebuke them now. And you commit the dream realm unto the Lord. Somebody say he repent if he have bad dreams. Rebuke them dreams. Yeah, the enemy come always. You know what I'm saying? But thoughts of lust, yes, you die. I'm free in the name of Jesus. Yes, you got to call it out. And you got to declare it in the name of Jesus. And guess what? You got to put some faith with it. Because the word of God says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if you're doing it any other way and it's not done in faith, it's not pleasing God. So guess what? Spend you some time with the Lord. And guess what? He has washed me. Let me tell y'all, I got a real quick testimony. God has sanctified and washed me so much so that even when I see guys that, and I'm just, y'all already know, my husband know I keep it real. But God has sanctified me to the point that when I see people that I done slept with, they don't disrespect me. They have the utmost respect for me. And I know it's only the grace of God, you know. And I wasn't a good girl. I don't try to go around acting like I was a mess, man. I was so broken and beat up. And I just wanted love. You know, I didn't have my father. I just met my dad. What, like, I think I was 33. I think last year, 34. I just met my dad. I didn't have a dad. I wanted love, and I went through so much, man. I didn't even know that lack in my life of my dad being around. I didn't even know that it could cause so much damage. I mean, I was out there looking for love from people, and, I remember just, you know, if I'd act like they love me, man, I gave them my all. And, you know, I got nothing in return. All I got was damage. I was damaged. I was bruised. I was beat, broken. Me too, Desiree. Me too. Rape, all that. I was raped. And when I tell you, like, spending time with the Lord today, if I see that guy that did that to me, that raped me, I'm telling you, I have prayed for this young man. Well, I don't know. He might be old. Whatever. But I have prayed for him as if it was my child and asking God, you know, to just not let him die and go to hell. You know, just praying that God will have mercy on him. And also praying that he doesn't do it to anybody else. But I'm telling you, spending time with the Lord, so much has fallen off. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be reading the word of God. It's all right, baby. It's all right. It is all right, Desiree, because guess what? You are free in the name of Jesus. I declare it. You're free. You are free. And guess what? It's going to help somebody else. You're going to have a testimony, and it's going to help somebody else. But spending time with God, I would read the word of God, and I'd be like, wow, that's what's going on with me. And you know, you got to check yourself, because when you're in church and you spend the time in the word, your mind will quickly try to make you think about somebody else when you read the scripture. Oh, well, that's why they like that. Or that's why they, no, you apply that thing to your life. The word of God is like a mirror to us. Apply it to your life. Look, whoever need a Bible, let me know. I want to get all y'all some Bibles. I don't care what I got to do. Whoever need a Bible, inbox me. And I will get you a Bible. I don't care what I got to do. I'll get you a Bible. I will pray with you that the Holy Ghost come and just fall upon you and infill you. I will, listen, I want to see you free. If God did it for me, he can do it for you. I have been through so much stuff, and I'm going to share this. And you know, some people might say, "Well, you tell too much, or you go too deep." There's some people out there that need the truth. I want to tell you guys this. All that abuse I suffered and went through in the different men's, you know, men and not men's, y'all. That's funny. Anyway,
But the men, and Desiree Sugar, you gotta laugh like I do. You gotta laugh because God is able. But all the men, you know what I'm saying? And I don't be around here trying to act like I was old chaste virgin when I met my husband. No. And guess what? My husband know all about. Yes, my husband, there's no secrets. Okay, so I just want to testify. The men, you know what I'm saying? The men that I have been with, the waste, the pollution, all that. God washing me, right? I remember before me and my husband got married, the closer it got to that day, I remember thinking, oh my God, Lord, I pray that everything is okay in, you know, in the bedroom area, this and that. You know, we had went and took our test for diseases or whatnot. You know, you should do that. Especially when you stop having sex and you start your journey to celibacy. You know, get yourself checked out. And then when you meet your spouse, you guys go together. But anyway, I remember saying, Lord, how is it going to be like, you know, me sleeping with him and you know, like, so look, guys, on our honeymoon night, I'll never forget when me and my husband consecrated? What do y'all know what I mean? When we did it. Anyhow, oh my God, y'all, I was not a virgin, but I bled like a virgin. And look, y'all, I know this social media and I know it's public, but I just gotta testify. I bled as if I was a virgin. It hurted. It hurted like I was a virgin. It hurts. Sorry. I'm trying to work on my English. But I couldn't believe it. Oh my God, all I could do is cry. And you know, maybe I ain't pay attention to the anatomy of the woman or whatnot, but I was scared. I was like, well, what if we can't please each other, you know? And man, when I tell you, God, he show up in every situation. I ain't gonna put all my business out there, but God shows up in everything that you commit to him. He shows up. He does. I mean, he shows up. And just that time spent with him, he purified and he's still purifying me. Amen. That's right. I know that's right. That's how I felt too. He purified me and he gave me to my husband. And he was the father that gave me away at my wedding. Yes, my brother walked me down the aisle, but God gave me away to my husband because I didn't have a father. You know what I'm saying? I'm just now meeting my dad. I don't know much about him. And I love him. God knows I do. But God was just a father to me. Wow. And sorry if that was a rabbit chase, guys. But wow. Y'all don't know like what I've gained from just spending time with God. So look, I want to tell you this. Give him 10 minutes. You know, when you wake up, if this is new to you, give him 10 minutes. You know, just start out by saying, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Father. You're such a great father. Thank you for waking me up. Start like that. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, that 10 minutes, it'll turn into 20 or 30 minutes with the Lord. And then after 30 minutes, you know, you spend time with God for 30 minutes. You'll spend time with God and you'll recognize that an hour, 2 hours has went by. And man, I'm telling you, it's beautiful. You know, and you got to be desperate for God. I remember one time I went in my closet and I said, Lord, I'm just going to sit here. I need a word. I'm going to sit here until you talk to me. And God, I sat there, oh my God, for the longest, just saying, like, I don't hear nothing, Lord. And I'm crying. I need to hear from you. God simply whispered in my spirit, I love you. Lord, I just, thank you, Jesus. To get this little big extravagant word like how God used to talk to I think Moses when he used to give him all those words in long chapters, and he simply said, I love you. And I was torn up, but I was so honored and grateful to hear from God. Y'all love y'all. I see y'all love, but I was so grateful for the love of God. And I just always encourage people, spend time in the word. The word, he said, it'll be a lamp into your feet and a light into your path. And just let him be that in your life. Yes, just let him be that. Sorry, guys, that just joined. Y'all got to watch it later because it's almost over. But I do love you guys, and I thank you so much. You guys always support me, and I never really get a chance because I'm moving on the go all the time. If, you know, if I'm not in fellowship with the Lord, I'm here with my children. I'm basically a stay-at-home mom. I only work 2 days a week at the shop. So I'm spending time with my children, cultivating my children, you know, being a wife, trying to be a better wife and mother. And then, you know, we got this project. Guys, look out for the We Pray Project. If you guys want to be added to listen to prayers. Hold on, baby. Tell everyone hi. Y'all, that's my precious possession, Nyla. But, guys, if you want to be added to listen to prayers, the We Pray Project is in effect. It's starting up. If you want to listen to prayers on a daily basis and just click and listen, send me your phone numbers and I can add you to the group. There's only specific people praying on there, but you guys can listen to prayers. God has birthed something in me. It's called the We Pray Project, and I want you guys to jump on board because the prayers, oh my God, they have been helping me, you know. God is building the spirit of leadership in his people, and we just got to take that mantle. We got to take up our cross and follow Jesus. I just want to encourage you guys. Like I said, I love you. Thank you so much for always supporting. Thank you for always listening and sharing. Hold on, baby. That's rude. Hold on. Okay. I would like you guys to share the video, because guess what? A part of it might have blessed you. Another part may bless the people on your friends list. I love you, Stephanie. But share the video. Promote God. It's not June. Y'all got to promote God. And also, I have a YouTube channel, and it's called Just June. And I'm uploading the videos. Yeah, it's called Just June. And the reason for that name, my baby, she was like, Just June. The reason I chose that name is because I'm just June. It's Jesus, ha, that works in me. Hallelujah. Now, that was good to me. But I'm just June. And it's Jesus that's working in and through me, guys. So on YouTube, I have a little channel. I probably had like 4 videos, but I'm working on it. God teaching me how to be consistent. And you guys go look at it, subscribe, share it. Hey, if y'all want to pray, we can do this. Y'all, I love prayer. But I love you guys. Have a blessed night. My baby is calling me. KJ is calling. Who said that? Oh, I can't see. Somebody just told me they love me. Oh, I love you, June. So, yes, guys. Keep on the lookout. Because guess what? God is doing a new thing, and something is always cooking and stirring, you guys. I love you all. Have a great night. Say bye, Nyla.
Bye-bye.
Oh, who said go get KJ? You...
Test 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah, I think KJ might be her little boy. She got a little baby boy too. But that's June McCullough. She's a friend on Facebook. And I did ask her for her permission to play that today. So her and her husband are hopefully looking in. And she's a hairdresser, so she just worked 2 days a week, she said. But if you in her vicinity, go and support her business. But see, that's what I'm saying. Just plain, everyday, talking to folks. Get all this highfalutin oratory out of your mind. That crazy junk needs to go away. So you just talk to folks again and save them. Every human being on earth, no matter where they came from, goes through the same stuff. Same stinking devil doing the same stuff to people. And we think we're exclusively the ones that the devil's doing stuff to. There is nothing, the Bible says, there is nothing that's overtaken anybody that's not common to man.
That's right.
But when you all into yourself and thinking you're this grandiose spiritual guru, you think that I'm walking on cloud nine and the devil's attacking me because I'm the ultimate threat. No, he's not. You're just going through the common junk that's common to everybody. How do we get out of this thing? Let's read one scripture and we're out of here. Luke 17, verse 20. I'll read this and we're gone. Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You can't see it. Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. It's inside of you." And he said unto the disciples, "This day, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, 'See here,' or 'See there.' Go not after them, nor follow them." So that "see here" or "see there" refers back to, they shall say, "Lo here, lo there." So don't keep looking for the kingdom down here, because it's within you. You'll only fellowship with other people based on the kingdom being formed in you. You'll know them by their fruits. It's not observable. You can't go to fill in the blank and find the kingdom of God. It's not there. It's not a physical kingdom. For as the lightning that comes, that lights out of the one part under heaven, shines into the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It's a departure, an extraction of God's people. Then the destruction comes. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So the day Noah entered the ark, destruction. The day Lot departed Sodom, destruction. He's going to extract the church before he vents his wrath on this world. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetops, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, "Where, Lord?" And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together." So you see now, this thing is preparation for departure right now. Everything you see happening worldwide, the turmoil in the Middle East, all the stuff going on with Russia, everything that you see is about preparation for departure. The barrier that's been protecting Satan has been the church. If you purge the church and package it and prepare for departure, the environment will get frenetic, because the devil's going to be traumatized, because he knows what? My shield of protection has been removed. God is able to vent on me and destroy me because his people are not in my midst. I don't have them performing these acts of compromise that makes them sell in with me. So what's happening? God is raising up people like Young June here who'll say, "You know what? I'm looking to be purged, to be filled." See, the infilling of the Holy Ghost is what? The kingdom coming. The kingdom comes via the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't come with observation. It's within you. You got to prepare the vessel for infilling. The only ones that make it out of here are those that are full of the Holy Ghost and have those lamps full of oil. Remember the parable. 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The bridegroom comes, and the 5 foolish virgins says to the 5 wise, "Give us some of your oil." You ain't giving out no Holy Ghost now. I prayed, I fasted, I paid a heavy price for this Holy Ghost. That's right, right. You know what you tell the foolish virgins? You go buy your own. That's right. And the Bible says, as they went to get the oil,
he gave
They said, okay, I'll sanctify fast. I'll begin to pray and seek the Lord. As they went to the bedchamber to pray and to get filled, the bridegroom parted the skies and came, lifted the five wise out of there, and then the five foolish came a knocking, saying, "Let us in." It's closed now, buddy. Closed. If you can understand this message, I'm broadcasting over the whole world right now to hundreds of thousands of people potentially, and they will not come to it because they think it's a joke. And I'm just T.D. Jakes to them. The Bible says you're like a person that does what? Sings a song like an entertainer. They didn't take it to heart. It wasn't real. They'll remain foolish to the end. And he's going to lift out Lot and lift out Noah and vent his wrath on the whole world. You better get ready now for them. You better be wise enough to take these words seriously. I take you through a whole lot of stuff by way of video, and I try to expose people to all kinds of teachings and all kinds of things you don't normally see in church. Because this church mess, some nut behind a pulpit preaching at you, don't get you nowhere. You need to have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers like five fingers molding you into a whole person so you can see the big picture, the panoramic view. This thing is about a person that says, you know what? I'm serious while somebody else is playing. The sincere, serious people make it. The fools play. Remember Israel when they came out of Egypt? They sat down, they sat down and worshiped those idols and rose up playing, wanting to be entertained with the golden calves. And God destroyed everything in sight. God is still a consuming fire. God is still who he always has been. You see the vignettes of God in the Old Testament? God hasn't. He said, "I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. If he destroyed them then, he'll destroy them now."
Yes.
It's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to do what?
Fall
into the hands of an angry God. If you would, stand to your feet, please, and we'll dismiss.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You know, people get caught up in temporal things that don't matter. They play the Super Bowl today. The Falcons are playing. I'll watch the game. I'll eat some chicken wings and forget it tomorrow morning. See, nobody cares about this garbage because it doesn't matter that much. If you get a little recreation or some entertainment, take advantage of it. Enjoy yourself. Go down the water slide. Go to the beach. Have a good time. Play a little volleyball. But this whole place is going to be burned out of existence. It's damned to hell as we stand in the midst of it. You got to let that be on the forefront of your thinking. That, hey, nothing is going to impugn me from my destination. I'm going to make it in.
Yes.
And you got to be willing to sacrifice up everything.
Everything.
He says, remember Lot's wife. Remember, Lot didn't turn around to see what happened to his wife.
Right.
Have you noticed that? That Lot kept on trucking. And his daughter said, "Well, mama, I do not know. And I do not care. And I'm not looking back to see what happened to him." You think people acting funny now. You wait till this thing begin to wrap. You wait till Ezekiel war breaks out, this third world war that's coming down the pike. When nuclear weapons are being launched to destroy parts of this planet. When men's eyeballs are consumed out of the sockets, the Bible says, from that nuclear blast. And all hell is breaking loose for real. When there are tanks on the street. When anarchy is broken out and civil war is imminent. You watch out, you think people acting funny now, you think how they'll be acting funny then, because it's going to be every man for himself.
Yes,
the Titanic is funny, and you having a lot of fun on the Titanic until it hit that iceberg.
Right.
And when it starts sinking, the last thing that captain yelled out before it went under was, "Every man
for himself."
I'm taking, I'm elbowing him and grabbing his deck chair, diving off the ship. You don't think about when it's D-Day and the deal's going down. Folks not gonna, you think you all that now. Folks not even gonna know you're alive.
That's right.
People have been psychologically impugned by the devil and sin. Young Beyonce says she's pregnant with twins. She's sitting on the internet butt naked to introduce the fact she's pregnant. Who gets on the internet with a big bloated stomach pregnant, butt naked, to tell the world I'm pregnant? That's telling you she's been psychologically damaged. There's something wrong with her mind. She's been demonically infiltrated. There's something wrong here.
Yes, yes.
If the world's rejoicing and sending accolades, and these are the most Instagram hits ever in the history of Instagram. Standing in a pair of stockings, butt naked, talking about him having twins. That's telling you what she got back in the house. That's telling you she got no life at all. That's telling you her life is a disgrace before God. The child needs prayer because you progressively get worse in sin. No one stays the same in sin. You get progressively worse. When you started sinning, you didn't stay the same. You were cascading downward. You had a downward spiral occurring in your life till you finally cried out for God to save your soul. Because when demons invade, they erode away your intellect. They erode away your logic function. They erode away your dignity. They erode away your humanity because they're not humans. They animalize you and make you into a walking, talking animal. Let me tell you something. This thing is about to be ramped up. You look at the physical, I can tell you what's coming in the spiritual. Donald Trump told you what he's going to do before he did it. And then he began to initiate exactly what he said. And the world said, I can't believe he's doing this. Because they're used to people telling lies. The church is about to bring forth the real deal. Real power preachers, real apostles, real prophets, real evangelists, real pastors and teachers. And it's gonna shock the whole church world. I can't believe these people are really doing and saying what they're doing. I can't believe the Bible's really real because they've been entertained so long. I'm telling you, God is coming like a mighty rushing river, buddy. He's coming in heavy, and he's coming in with people that mean business. Young girl like June here gave you that testimony. She's simple enough for God to move through her.
Yes.
See, it ain't a whole bunch of fluff and a bunch of junk and a bunch of not trying to be a brilliant orator. She's just talking to you with plainness of speech. She said, I'm working on my English. Hey, man, that's perfect. I hope your English never perfected for what it's worth. Talk to me plain. Talk to me from the hood.
Yeah.
Talk to me as one of what we used to call the girl down the street. Let's call her around the way girls.
Yeah.
Talk to me like a round the way girl. You can put some weight down the round the way girls. So no more girls are trying to be all that. You can't trust them. But one of the round the way girls got your back. They ride or die. They ride and die with you, man. They go through with you.
Yeah.
When you're running from the liquor store, having got that bag of liquor running, you can go into the round the way girl and walk away like you ain't steal it, you know. Because they hang with you through thick and thin. That's what you want. You better marry a round the way girl. Don't marry one of these old prima donna divas in church trying to walk around in some stilettos being Juanita Bynum. Man, get yourself a round the way girl, bro. You can put weight down on them, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Take these words and quicken them to the hearts of the hearers. Change us. Fill us.
Yes, Lord.
June just said, look, you go back to Proverbs 16:6. Hey, through mercy and truth, iniquity is purged from the heart of the hearer. We sit before he who is merciful and he who is the truth. It'll purge every vestige of iniquity because I'm spending time with a righteous man. His righteousness is transferred to me. It's unrighteous soul ties, but thank God Jesus is a righteous soul tie. And time spent with him will make me into what he is. I can't make him into what I am, but bless God, he can make me into what he is. It's time to see another brand of Christian. It's time for another generation of Christian. It's time for folks that mean business to come forth. This is the time of God. This is the day of God. In Jesus' name, God, we receive it. Done. That the Father be glorified in the Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's going to wrap it up for today. Hey, whatever you do, remember Lot's wife, because departure is imminent. This thing ain't going to take a long time, buddy. I'll be 60 years old this year. My little granddaughter is 2. My grandson is 1. 20 years, they'll be 22 and 21. I'd be 80 and dead probably. Think about what I'm saying. By the time they hit 20, I got 1 foot in the grave anyway. I'm out of here. 20 years max, you're a dead man, a dead man walking. I don't even want to be alive. I have no, like I was telling somebody when Eddie Long was emaciating and apparently dying. Said, you know, I hope when he dies, she said, I don't like to speak death over nobody. The man's dying.
That's right.
Stop trying to dream about staying alive and thinking it's a bad thing to leave here. I covet leaving this hellhole. Folks trying to hang on with both hands, you know, you don't talk negatively. Negatively, I'm headed home.
That's right.
I'm headed to glory.
That's right.
Negative. It's negative to have to walk around in this trash every day.
That's right.
What is wrong with everybody? This is crazy. It's time to man make plans for your departure. Remember Dunamis Tabernacle, www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate. Remember the conference, June 1st through June 4th, down in Florida. Registration open now on the website. Remember the prayer line, 641-715-3670. Access code 409-367. Praying every night, 9 o'clock. Super Bowl or no Super Bowl, 9 o'clock, we'll be on the prayer line. It's time to make plans for departure. We'll see you back here next week. See you at Bible study Wednesday night, 7:30. Have a blessed week and stay out of the devil's stinking matrix.